at their device. Would you like to turn to John chapter 4? And I've entitled this morning, The Power of Personal Testimony. And John chapter 4, and we're just going to read four verses, 39 to 42. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." At the end of June this year, I spoke from Proverbs 11, verse 30, about what it means to be a true Christian. And within that, I talked about us being soul winners. And I want to explore that theme of being soul winners a little bit more. And we'll do this by looking at a familiar incident that we find in John's Gospel. Our text this morning is taken from the account of the meeting between Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well in Samaria. And because the whole account is a long reading, and because it's quite well known, I want to take the liberty of just recapping the story and then moving on to the short text that I've selected for this morning. As we said, Jesus met this woman at a well in Samaria. John tells us that Jesus needed to go from Judea to Galilee, and he chose to go via Samaria. He could have avoided Samaria altogether, but this would have been a longer journey. And I believe that most of us know that the Jews and the Samaritans were not on good terms, and they usually tried their best to avoid each other. In fact, the relationship between Jews and Samaritans was in some respects like the relationship between the Catholics and the Protestants in Northern Ireland. They both worship the same God, but greatly differ in the way that they do it. We can see that by choosing to go the shortest route, Jesus was actually doing something that was unusual for a Jew. About midday, as Jesus and his disciples travelled through Samaria, they came to the town, at a town called Sychar. And as Jesus was tired, they rested there, and the disciples went off to the town to buy food, and left Jesus resting at the well. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water, and Jesus entered into a conversation with her. The woman was surprised because not only did Jews usually ignore Samaritans, but Jesus was actually talking to her, a woman. As they talked, Jesus told her who he was and told her some facts about her life that as a stranger he couldn't possibly have known. He told her that she'd been married 5 times before and the man she was now living with was not her husband. And eventually, the woman came to realize that Jesus was the promised Messiah and she believed in him. And the woman rushed off to the town and told everyone that she met, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And the result of that is that many came out of the town and made their way to him. Now this whole account is remarkable, and many sermons have been preached about it. I've preached on it myself a few times. And that's probably because in this account we see the wonderful work of Jesus in amazing action. Now we can talk heavily about how Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and we can wax lyrically about how Jesus came to forgive sins and restore sinners, and we can carefully explain how we need to come to him just as we are, and he'll accept us. But in this account in John chapter 4, we see it all in action. Here we see Jesus taking the initiative, seeking out this woman by actually going where he would not normally go, just to meet with her. We see him making the first move and talking to her. We see that he knows exactly what sort of woman she is, but her somewhat colourful lifestyle so far has not put him off. We see that he's prepared to accept her, even though it's likely that the people where she lives condemn and ostracise her. This account very clearly shows us the gospel in action, and we're shown the way by the Master. This woman was used to the gossip and the scandalised eyes wherever she went. She was used to the fact that, because of her history with men, the villagers considered her an immoral woman and no better than she ought to be. She was used to the rejection of men who used her and then cast her off like an old garment. And that's why she came to the well at noon, when no one else would be about. And when she came to the well that day, what do you think she expected? Well, I believe she expected silence. I believe she expected solitude. But instead, she found someone who knew her better than she knew herself. Now, can you just imagine the scene? There he was, seated on the ground, legs outstretched, hands folded back, bent back resting against the well, his eyes closed, he looked to be asleep. And she stopped, and she looked at him, and she looked around. No one else was there. And she looked back at him, and he was obviously Jewish. What was he doing here in Samaria? Then his eyes opened, and her eyes darted away in embarrassment, and she went quickly about her task. And Jesus sensed her discomfort and said to the most natural thing, "Can I have a drink?" She was a bit too streetwise to think that all that he wanted was a drink. Since when does one of your kind ask a woman like me for a drink, she wanted to know. What he really had in mind is what she was after. And her intuition was partly correct. His interest in her was more than water. He was interested in her heart. And so they talked. Now, who could remember the last time that a man had spoken to her with respect? He told her about a spring of water, living water that would quench her deepest thirst. That intrigued her. "Sir, give me this water that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He replied, "Go and call your husband and come back." Oh, how her heart must have sunk. Here was a Jew who didn't care if she was a Samaritan. Here was a man who didn't look down on her as a woman. Here was the closest thing to kindness that she'd ever seen. And now he was asking her about that. Oh, anything but that. Maybe she considered lying. "Oh, my husband, he's away right now." Maybe she wanted to change the subject. Perhaps she wanted to leave. But she stayed. And she told the truth. "I have no husband." And the woman wondered what Jesus would do. She must have wondered if the kindness would cease when the truth was revealed. "He'll be angry. He'll leave. He'll think I'm worthless too." But she's amazed at Jesus' answer. "You're right. You've had 5 husbands, and you're not married to the man you're living with now." No criticism. No anger. No lecture on look at the mess you've made of your life so far. Because it wasn't perfection that Jesus was after. It was honesty. And the woman was amazed. "I can see that you're a prophet." In other words, there's something different about you, something special. And then she asked the question that revealed the gaping hole in her soul. "Where is God? My people say he's on this mountain. Your people say he's in Jerusalem. I don't know where he is." Can you imagine the expression on Jesus' face as he heard those words? Did his eyes fill with tears? Did he smile? Did he look into the clouds and have a wink at his father? Of all the places to find a hungry heart, here in Samaria. Of all the Samaritans to be searching for God, here was a woman who'd been through 5 divorces. Of all the people to be chosen to personally receive the news the world had been waiting for, an outcast among outcasts. Isn't that remarkable? You know, Jesus didn't reveal his secret to King Herod. He didn't request an audience with the temple leaders. He didn't hold a press conference in the market square. No, it was in the shade of a well in a rejected land to an ostracized woman, and his eyes must have danced as he whispered the secret. "You're looking for the Messiah. I'm the Messiah." And the most important phrase in this chapter, I believe, is the one that is so overlooked. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. could this be the Christ? And don't miss the drama of the moment. Look at her eyes, wide with amazement. Listen to her as she struggles with the words. You're the Messiah? And watch as she scrambles to her feet, takes one last look at this grinning Galilean, turns and almost runs into the returning disciples. She almost falls, regains her balance, and races off to the village. Have you noticed what she forgot? She forgot the water jar, the very purpose for her coming to the well, because now she got a new purpose. Suddenly the shame of her tattered romances had disappeared, a worthless life that suddenly became valuable. God is here. God has come. God cares, even about me. That's why she forgot the water jar. That's why she ran to the town. That's why she grabbed the first person she saw and announced the discovery. I've just talked to a man who knows everything I ever did. And he loves me anyway. Jesus had done what he does best. He'd taken a life that was drifting and given it direction. He'd found someone running on empty and filled her with new life. And he still does the same today. And that brings us to the reason why I selected this passage this morning. Because what Jesus did that hot sunny day in Samaria 2,000 years ago, he's still doing today. He's still in the business of finding those who are lost. He's still in the business of taking those who feel rejected, those who are drifting, those who don't quite fit, and giving them a new life. He's still in the business of finding those who exude such self-confidence, who strive for respectability, but who are hurting and lonely inside, and filling them with love and acceptance. Our text this morning shows us the result of what Jesus did in the life of a woman. Because, what did she do? She rushed into town, told of what Jesus had done for her, and brought others to Jesus to see for themselves. When they came to Jesus and met with him, they invited him to stay. Because of his words, many more became believers. Why did they come to Jesus? They came because of the testimony of this woman. And it illustrates a very important principle. There is no greater evangelistic tool than the personal testimony of a believer. All the preaching, all the Bible studies, all the clever schemes and plans are nothing in comparison to personal testimony. And I know that's a bold statement, especially coming from someone like me who's personally and passionately committed to preaching the Word of God. But there's no doubt that it's true. A whole village of outcasts came to faith as a result of one woman's testimony. Now, I know that your first reaction is going to be to panic and protest, but I'm not an evangelist. Well, I want to let you into a secret. Neither was the Samaritan woman. But her response for introducing a whole village to Jesus. Undoubtedly, that was the work of the Spirit of God working through this reborn woman. Her words fall with unusual power upon the crowd, and they respond by coming to Jesus. They never responded to her before. They either studiously avoided her, or ridiculed and insulted and gossiped about her. But now they respond to her. Now the crowd around her listened to what she has to say, because God is working in her. She immediately becomes an evangelist. She has to tell what has happened to her. As I said earlier, there's nothing better than personal testimony to win someone for Christ. Just sharing how Jesus has changed your life will speak far more eloquently than the finest sermon by the greatest evangelist. Come and see someone who has changed my life. And you don't have to be a good speaker. You don't have to have great Bible knowledge. You don't even have to know the magic formula that makes someone born again. Why? Because there is no magic formula. Just tell it as it happened to you. And if you need some help, seek out another Christian. It's true that the whole village came to Christ after they'd seen and talked to him, as our text shows. But don't forget verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. It was her testimony that brought many to Christ. And God is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. The testimony of that insignificant, despised woman was enough to bring many people to faith. The testimony of each one of us is enough to bring the people of this village to faith. And it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who you are. It's the testimony of what God has done for you that does the work. It may well be that we've done it all before and no one's responded before. But when the Holy Spirit works through born-again Christians, then people will respond. I believe the reason Jesus went through Samaria that day instead of taking the usual route was specifically to meet that woman. I believe that Jesus had a divine appointment that day, and he went because his Father sent him to that specific place on that specific day. And in this incident, we see the Holy Trinity working together in that village. God the Father sent Jesus. The Holy Spirit brought the woman. Jesus ministered to her. Over these last few months, I seem to have detected a tangible change in the people of Goldthorpe. It might only be me, but I just feel it. There's a definite softening, a definite willingness to listen. We see that in the Saturday cafe mornings, for instance. A lot of people from this area have been spoken to, and they still come back every week. Maybe, just maybe, we're seeing God move in this place. We've been encouraged by the Lord to undertake spiritual warfare and prayer walks, and we are seeing results, as I said. The Holy Spirit is softening the hearts of the people of this village. The Holy Spirit has prompted us to open up our church to various outreaches, and we have done so. You may not all realise it, but there is an outreach meeting of some sort in this building every single day of the week. So let every one of us be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is asking of us. All that he is asking for us is to be like the woman at the well, asking us to go to our village and say, "He told me everything I ever did." And you know the result in the Samaritan village. Many of the Samaritans from that town came because of the woman's testimony. Can God do that again? Well, of course he can. And I believe that he is willing. But are we? Why not? Why not us? Why not now? And why not Goldthorpe? Amen.